How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, and it is a big day here at WrestlingObserver.com. Tomorrow is March 8th. Tomorrow is the beginning of the brand new Monday Night Wars. January 4th was the first shot fired in this battle as Impact moved to Monday nights, went head-to-head with Raw, did a pretty good number by Impact standards, didn't come close to beating Raw or anything like that, but they held their own, and now it is official. As of tomorrow night, Monday, March 8th, Impact is going to be going live every... Well, I shouldn't say live. Impact will be going head-to-head with Raw every Monday night. They'll be live every other week. They're going to go live this coming Monday. They'll tape another episode for next Monday. And the Monday after that, they'll be live again, and so on and so forth. And they think it's going to be the beginning of something new. The new Monday Night Wars, which, of course, brought wrestling to new heights in the 90s, helped make Vince McMahon a billionaire. It all starts all over again tomorrow. We're going to be talking a lot about that today. Sure, it's going to be on the minds of most people calling and emailing in. It's been the big story for the last couple of months now. People have had a renewed interest, maybe not so much in TNA, but in the fact that a war may be starting here between the two companies. We'll talk about that. Impact this past Thursday night, the final show before the new Monday Night Wars, was an awful awful television program in terms of building up that program. So we're going to review that show, plus SmackDown and Raw. WWE on a roll going head-to-head with Impact. They've got the build for WrestleMania. We've got Bret Hart versus Vince McMahon announced. We'll be running down the full card for WrestleMania as we know it. Also talk about last night's WEC show. Fun show, kind of a lame main event. I guess you could ask for more, as WEC has had some of the best shows in the last couple of years, and they've got a pay-per-view coming up. We'll talk about that, plus a lot of other news, including the Dragon Gate USA pay-per-view from Friday night. We'll talk Strikeforce versus UFC, some big names coming into TNA on Monday night. UFC has signed a pretty damn big-name boxer for some upcoming MMA versus pro boxer matches. We'll talk to Mike about that. He's our resident boxing expert. NXT Week 2, is it working? Is it a failure? We'll discuss that, plus the Ric Flair 911 call. Wrestlelicious. Glow is back, everybody. We'll talk about that program, which is going to be, it's on the internet right now. You can check it out if you want to. But a lot of stuff to talk about today. We'll take your phone calls and emails as well. Should be a fun time. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here for the next 2 hours, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, taking your phone calls and emails, and talking all the news. And Mike, of course, Monday, March 8th, the brand new Monday Night Wars, supposedly. And the big question today is, are you excited for this?
You know, I was excited in the possibility that, you know, TNA could actually get a 1-5 on Monday. I actually really figured they could do that. I was worried about what would happen afterwards, but now I'm just excited to see if they can break a 1 after the way last week's ratings came in, and just the state of last week's show was, it made you, I don't know, it, at least for me, just completely took me out of wanting to see anything happen head-to-head to this company.
It was a horrible show. It was a... I remember after January 4th occurred, and they were back, Bischoff and Hogan, and I guess Bischoff was heavily involved in writing the TV. And I remember watching the TV and thinking, you know, this is better. This is an improvement over the old crash TV that Vince Russo was producing, because everything's a little slower. All these segments, you know, instead of having 40 segments on a show, you've only got 20. That's an improvement. And it was like that for a couple of weeks, and then it's slowly been inching back to where it used to be. And man, this past Thursday night, there were about 1,000 segments on that show. 900 of them involved Eric Bischoff. We had just some complete stupidity, making Mick Foley look like a complete geek. I mean, they made everybody look like a complete geek. I mean, when Abyss was first given this ring by Hulk Hogan, it was going to give him great powers, and he was going to be this top babyface. You know, I thought back to when Abyss was somewhat effective, when he was cutting all these angry promos and beating the crap out of people. And instead now, he's running wild with Abyssomania. Who could possibly care about this? We had just one horrible segment after another. They didn't do anything to build up Monday night. I mean, the best Monday night hype I've seen has been on YouTube. Okay? You had 1.5 million viewers on Thursday night, and you're putting stuff on YouTube? They haven't even broken 10,000 views for this stuff yet. So it was a horrible television show as far as building up the Monday show, and a horrible pay-per-view as far as building up the pay-per-view. They got Monday night's free show and a pay-per-view coming up, and they did a wretched job with both.
And it's not like it's nitpicking. It slaps you in the face every time out. It was, why is the Pope in this match tonight when he was pilmanized and he was recovering for his revenge on AJ for the pay-per-view coming up? You know, two pay-per-views down the road, why is he in the match? Why is, you know, Bischoff, I was a fan of beating him over the head, you know, of people early on just to, you know, to really drive it home again how much you want to hate Eric Bischoff, but it's gotten to the point of being insane with so many stories. Jeff Jarrett can't act in the way they need him to act to make that effective. The Mick Foley stuff, why were the Motor City Machine Guns in that three-way match? They were completely superfluous in that Four Corners match with Hernandez and Morgan. They didn't need to be there. Why were they there? The whole night was like that. And it's no wonder that by the end of the show, where nothing was really solved going into next week outside of Ric Flair bleeding, that's why the thing dropped beneath a one. I mean, that's incredibly embarrassing.
Yeah, the quarter hours for the show, I'm actually trying to pull them up right here, but the quarter hours were wretched. I mean, it actually opened really well. It opened at a 1.25 rating. Opened at a 1.25, which means that people tuned in this show excited to watch Impact. And if you watched last week's show, I mean, there's a reason people tuned in, which was that Ric Flair and AJ Styles beat up Hulk Hogan, and they left him laying. And he was, you know, he vowed to do this match on March 4th, but people tune in the next week to see, well, what's going to happen? Hulk Hogan's got to be very angry about what happened. He's going to be going nuts. Instead, he came out and did a promo in the ring with Flair, but that's another story. But regardless, there was a reason to tune in. The heels had done a dastardly act to the babyfaces. So with that said, why did Thursday night's show end with the babyfaces beating the crap out of the heels, blooding up Ric Flair, getting their revenge in almost every conceivable way? I mean, we're supposed to be interested in Monday to see Hulk Hogan get a pinfall? He bloodied the man up. The guy was bleeding buckets. Why do we need to see a pinfall on Monday?
And the arc storyline of Hulk Hogan turning into Mickey Rourke throughout the show, too, of, you know, our friend Bubba the Love Sponge put on the best promo performance of the night. The problem was, it was the content of it, of Hulk, do you really want to be back in a wheelchair, or do you really want to be in a wheelchair? You know, it's just, that was painful, too. And really, because it cleaned itself off with him making Ric Flair pour those buckets of blood and making him look like he was in Pro Wrestling Illustrated in the early 80s again with the crimson mask he had on, what is the point to see them wrestle next week?
No idea. No idea.
And to top it off, too, you have all of these guys that are supposed to be making surprise appearances on Monday, and you do nothing. You hype up Dixie's Twitter again, but you don't even hint at one of them.
Yeah, we've got Sting, Rob Van Dam, and Jeff Hardy. They're all showing up on Monday. None of them were mentioned on Impact. Every single name is a big surprise. It's an attempt to do what sometimes worked, but not always, in the 90s. I mean, by the end, these surprises didn't work at all. So why they think they're going to work here, I have no idea. But I'd like to mention,
everybody had the internet by the end of the 90s.
Oh, that's true.
When they were surprising people in 96, it was a different story, and they're not even close to playing the same game now outside of running head to head. It's amazing.
Well, it's not even the internet. I mean, the big issue is, if you're a successful company and people are watching you anyway and you're already getting great numbers, then sometimes it's fun to surprise them with something that they weren't expecting. When you're doing bad numbers, I mean, you got to look back at the first Monday Night War. I mean, when WCW moved to Monday nights and created Nitro, I mean, their WCW Saturday Night Show was doing very close to the numbers that Raw was doing. I mean, within a half a point, okay? Raw is currently doing like a 3-8, and Impact is doing a 1-1. I mean, that is a vast difference. They're not even in the same universe right now. And to think that, okay, well, you know, we'll do some surprises here, we'll shock people, blah, blah, blah. It's fine if you were doing a 3-8. You're not. You're doing a 1-1. You need all the help that you can get. And
the thing is it really a surprise, though, when there's only, everybody knows now, there's only a few guys that could come in when they say, you know, we have somebody coming in. You might as well just say who it is. If you have Rob Van Dam coming in, hype the fact he's coming in, or hype the fact that Jeff Hardy's going to be back.
They have no idea what they're doing. Patently obvious on Thursday. I'd like to correct the ratings numbers I just gave, actually. It didn't open at a 125. It opened at a 131. A 131! And it fell...
And ended with an 0.93.
Yes. It fell in every single quarter. So basically, every time Eric Bischoff did three segments, it fell. Fell, down to a 0.93 at the end of the show. And that was the big angle with Hogan and Flair that was supposed to make you want to see the show on March 8th. A 0.93. A complete failure of a television show. And to go back very quickly to shortly after January 4th, I've actually got the ratings here for the show. Hulk Hogan's first appearance on the three-hour show did 2.9 million viewers from 9 to 9:15. I'm actually trying to find the hourly numbers because we can actually look at what they did head-to-head. I actually don't have them here, believe it or not. All right, I'll get him here in a second, probably in the next segment. I'll look around for him here. But regardless, I mean, you got to look at the good number that TNA did on January 4th. You have to consider that included a one-hour unopposed hour. So a lot of people, a lot of Raw viewers, if you looked at the quarter-hour patterns, a lot of Raw viewers did actually tune in to Impact from 8 to 9. But as soon as Raw went on the air, all of those people jumped to Raw. So, yes, TNA had their best number ever, actually, on January 4th. But a lot of that had to do with the unopposed hour, which they're not getting on Monday night. We're going to talk more about this after the break. We'll talk about the rating for the two-hour period on January 4th and lots more. Take phone calls and emails as well. We'll be right back. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here talking the Monday Night Wars. It's March 8th. Tomorrow night, Raw versus Impact, head-to-head from 9 to 11. Raw, of course, on USA, Impact on Spike TV, and we were talking the hourly ratings of the January 4th Impact show. And as it turns out, the second and third hours, Mike, did... What were the numbers?
The first hour was a 1.69. It opened with a 1.58 and then peaked with a 1.88 at the very top of the hour when the band was coming back. And that one head up with Brett and Sean on Raw. And then it dropped to a 1.44 and finished off with a 1.22 in hour three.
So if you add the 2 hours together, the head-to-head war did a 1.33, which is, in fact, what Impact had been doing about 8 months ago on Thursdays going unopposed. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and they're always talking about how we've got to go to Monday nights. We've got to take that step. I mean, this is our only hope, or all of this other nuttiness. And I always sit here and I think, okay, you know, at some point you probably got to go head to head, but I have a friend that ran a martial arts school. Actually, I'll use an even better analogy. There was a wrestling company around here called Pinnacle, and they used to run their shows in a garage. It was like an auto detail junkyard or something like that, and there were a bunch of garages and bays and that sort of thing. And in one of them, they set up a ring, and that was their training school. They also ran shows there. And they would pack these people in, these fans, into this little garage, I mean, shoulder to shoulder. I mean, there was absolutely no room in there. and they charge, you know, $8 or whatever. And of course, it was a small bay that they were renting. So they were making a great deal of money, in fact. And so, of course, they decided, okay, we need more room. So instead of, like, moving up to, I don't know, a building that, you know, had room for maybe an extra 100 people, they moved to this really fancy place where the rent was, I'm sure, very, very expensive. And, you know, 6 months later, they're gone. And it's the same thing with many businesses. You know, you're in a small place. The rent is maybe $1,500 a month. You're doing great. So you decide, okay, well, let's move to this building where the rent's $5,000 a month. You know, 6 months later, you're out of business. Okay, if Impact was really doing all that well on Thursdays, then I would say, sure. You know, Monday night maybe is the next place you need to go. And they always talk about how Monday night is wrestling night. Monday night is a night that people are conditioned to watch wrestling. And really, that's a lie. I mean, SmackDown on Thursday nights used to do huge numbers. I mean, SmackDown on Thursday night used to do more viewers than Raw did on Monday night. If Raw and SmackDown were both airing in the same week, and Raw did, say, 5 million viewers, there were days where SmackDown would do 5.2 million viewers on a Thursday night. SmackDown is now on Friday night, which is even a worse night, on My Network TV, which is hardly even a network, and they're still doing, like, you know, 3.5, 3.6, 3.8 million viewers. So it's not Thursday night at all. And to act like Thursday night is this big handicap, and the only reason that people are going to watch your show is if it's on Mondays, I mean, that's complete BS. I mean, they've been on Thursday nights. They've had various TV outlets and such for a long, long time. They first they didn't have TV. They had pay-per-view only. Then they had Fox Sports Net. And then they had, like, Spike TV on Saturday nights at 11 o'clock p.m., and now they've got primetime Thursday nights on Spike TV, and they're still doing 1.5 million viewers. I mean, this is a failure on TNA's part. This is not a failure on the night of the week or whatever competition they might have. This is a complete inability to make the most of what is given to you. And so I kind of get upset sometimes when I hear, we've got to move to Monday nights. No, you don't.
No, they never had to. They never had to. And the worst part is, and this is why I was kind of down on doing it as fast as they did it, is because, so what comes next? If you don't do anything, you don't have anything that can spark it. By your own admissions, you know it's going to take weeks and months to try to build up to where Raw is at. So you have nothing. You have nothing. So what are you doing? You know, you're going to go and hurt morale. I mean, morale's hurt now, and it hasn't even started yet. I mean, what do they have in the tank? You know, how can they show, you know, how can anybody have any confidence of what they have to come? Because they haven't shown anything. And it's been how long? You know, nothing happens overnight, but it's been now, you know, 3 months. And, you know, people are less interested than they were at the start. So, right there. There you go.
And the other thing is, it's one thing if you're going to challenge WWE because you've got a lot of things that you do better. Like if WWE really sucked right now, and there was a period, I don't want to say that they really, really suck, but I mean, there was a period, you know, 6-7 months ago where the product was extremely boring. I mean, this was before they tried to push Sheamus, and, you know, you had the exact same guys having the exact same matches over and over again. And I said at the time, I said, you know, if ever there was a time to oppose Raw, now is the time, because they're so stale, they're so boring. Now is not the time. They have had, with the exception of a couple of shows here and there, they've had some fantastic programming. They've done such a great job building up WrestleMania. They're on fire right now. And Impact is going to oppose them with that horrendous show that they put on Thursday night? You've got to be kidding me. I mean, sure, if Raw sucks and fans know all they have to do is switch channels to watch Impact, then that's great for Impact. But if they put on the Impact that they've been putting on Thursday night, on Monday night, you're going to have a bunch of Impact fans that switch the channel to watch Raw. It goes both ways. I'm not sure if they've figured this out yet. If Impact puts on a terrible program on Monday nights, they're going to lose their own fans to Raw. Why would you want to do that? Not to mention this constant argument of, well, you know, it's got to be on Monday night for people to be aware of us or to know about us or to fans need a choice. Well, they have a choice. They can watch you on Thursday. There are DVRs. You know what I mean? Why do fans need a choice on Monday night? They don't. All of this, there was a TNA video, it's like this 10-minute video they put on YouTube of all the guys talking about how important Monday night is and what TNA means to him, and, you know, Robert Roode talking about how we've got a better product, and I'm like, yeah, you could, but you don't right now. It was like every match on Thursday night was a minute. Who wants to watch that? And number one, it was like, first off, there was so much BS in this thing that it was astounding. And second, I was like, you know, this is a good video hyping up Monday night and making you interested in the war. And it's on YouTube. It's got 9,000 views. They couldn't have put this at the end of the Impact show on Thursday night. I have no idea what these people are doing.
Then on top of it, remember, you have Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. Granted, these guys have been moved too fast, but they are, you know, becoming WWE stars. AJ Styles, who's been wrestling, I don't know you how many times the amount of both of those men combined, is still the young guy. It tells you everything you need to know about TNA, too. They've had their chances to do this, and now they're head-to-head with no choice, and it just things don't look good. I don't know. I just wonder what this rating is going to be a month from now, right when we're really into amping up, like, the week before WrestleMania, what TNA's rating is possibly going to be, or what they possibly have to throw at the wall.
Well, we'll find out, but I would guess that in 3 weeks, it's right back down to either where it was on Thursday or lower. It is WrestleMania season. I mean, in 3 weeks, I mean, they're going to be going head-to-head with the Raw the night after Mania. Good luck with that one.
And they've known this, and they've known the date for a while. Remember, the date's been leaked and all this other stuff for a while. They know that, so what do they have leading into it right now? Nothing. Yet all that time, and it's nothing.
You know what's even worse? Is as much as everybody's talking about this coming Monday and what a big night it is, okay, you know they've been working on this show for like 2 months because they always do that for the most important show of all time, which seems to happen every 2 months. So they've been putting all their effort and they've been working and tweaking and staying up all night working on March 4th. That's all fine and dandy, but what about the show they're taping Tuesday? They've got a run Monday's show, and then on Tuesday they've got to tape a brand new show for the following week, which is going to be going head-to-head with the return of Steve Austin. Good luck.
These guys are supposed to be pros. They can't call an audible and do two back-to-back weekly live shows to try to counter whatever they're going to do with Austin? No. Smart.
Yeah,
pros.
I mean, it's. I don't know what the rating is going to be on Monday night, but the rating next Monday, that may be an embarrassing, massive slaughter. We've got some questions here. I want to do a couple of these before we head to the break. Assuming ratings for TNA on Mondays won't grow significantly, how long before Hulk Hogan bails? It's a great question. He's committed to a year, but he can leave, I'm sure, at any time. And, you know, if head-to-head with Austin does, you know, a 0.8, which I don't think it's going to go that low, but you never know. You never know. I mean, if it drops down that low, and, you know, he may not be long. He may break his hip, supposedly, in that match, and we never see him again. I mean, you know, when he first came in, I talked to people there who thought, you know, we think he's out for himself. You think?
No.
He is out for himself, and if this continues to crash, well, first off, he'll probably can Russo, which would be a massive plus. And then shortly after that, he'll probably bail himself. But we're going to talk more about this question more. We've actually got to head to a break. I want to make sure we get this stuff in. But we'll be back in just a moment. We'll talk more about this. More phone calls, more emails, more news. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And for all the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, WrestlingObserver.com is the place to go. We have daily news updates. We talk it all about the Monday Night Wars tomorrow night. In fact, Dave and I are going to be doing Live notes on the front page on both shows. I'll be in charge of Raw since I can see it live. They will be in charge of Impact. If anything happens on either show, we're going to update the front page so you can kind of go back and forth and find out what's going on the shows. That's tomorrow night. And, of course, if you love this radio show and you want more, you only get a chance to hear it once a week here on Sirius Channel 122 or the Sports Byline Radio Network. Sign up to the website. It's only $9.99 a month. That's for an entire month. $10. And you get access to all of the radio shows that we do, which is usually one to two radio shows go up on the site every single day. Dave and I do Wrestling Observer Radio at least three times a week. I do Figure Four Daily 3 to 4 times a week. Brian and Vinny Show several times per week. Of course, the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. We've got a number of other shows as well if you head up there. And you can always go over to the right-hand side of the page and scroll down. This is, of course, at WrestlingObserver.com. And if you scroll down the right-hand side, there's a list of the latest three free radio shows. You can download all three of them. They're completely free. Listen to them on your iPod or however you listen to your audio. And if you enjoy them, that's just a sample of the 10 to 15 radio shows we put up on the website every single week. And, of course, besides the new shows, you can also dip into the archives. Every show we've ever done is in our archives dating back to 2005. There's literally thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of audio, including interviews with some of the biggest names in wrestling. Last week we had Paul Bearer on for an awesome show. Got a lot of positive feedback about that one. That's just one of thousands of shows that are available in the archives, all for $9.99 a month. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. If you like what you hear, consider signing up, and I can pretty much guarantee you will not regret it. So that's WrestlingObserver.com. And before the break, we were talking about the Hulk Hogan scenario and the chances of him just bailing if the show on Monday night fails. And Mike, your thoughts on how long it might take before he hits the road?
Well, I don't know. I would say, I mean, if nothing else, it's a year. And realistically, when you look at it, even if things were going to go great, nothing, you know, you could turn things around, but nothing would be completely fixed in a year anyway. So if this thing just continues to tread water and continue on in the way it is, unless, you know, it's a hell of a lot, you know, more money or at least the same amount of money for easy work, maybe he sticks around. But, you know, creatively speaking, if, you know, as far as any attempt on trying to gnaw away at WWE, I mean, it could end very disappointingly. And then what are you left with if you're Spike and if you're TNA? I mean, yeah, the thing can continue on, and it's still going to do a rating on Spike somewhere. I mean, the channel's only so big, but, you know, realistically, how long are they going to want it dragging down if it doesn't take off on Monday night? How long are they going to want to continue to have one of their top-rated shows dragged down by going head-to-head with WWE?
Not only that, they
may want to move it off there themselves.
Yeah, not only that, but I mean, let's just say that the show, I mean, they've been doing, you know, 1-1, 1-2, 1-3 on a good week on Thursday night, and let's just say that they drop down to a 1-1, and they're consistently doing a 1-1 on Monday nights opposite Raw. They've got the giant added expense of going live. I mean, that's not cheap. I mean, you're going live every other week to do a 1-1? Why?
Yeah.
Why would you... A lot of questions here. A lot of questions.
Yeah, with how long does that last, too? I mean, it's just, they put themselves in a do-or-die position right now.
It kind of is. I often wonder, I mean, you know, we've had Dave on the show, and he seems to just think, well, you know, if it fails, they just move back to Thursday. I don't know if it's that easy. Maybe it is.
Oh, I don't, but see, the thing is, yeah, in theory, it can be that easy. But then it's everything that comes with it. You have to go back to Thursday with your tail between your legs. Now you're back to being, you know, can you compete with superstars on WGN again? You know, basically that's what it is. You've been smacked back to Thursday. And what is that for morale purposes? I mean, what is it for creatively purposes? I mean, when are they going to start cutting guys, too? Look how many guys they have on that roster that they are not using. How long before those cuts start coming, too?
Not to mention if I mean, God forbid they fail on Monday, they move back to Thursday, and they still keep Vince Russo around. I mean, if I can point to one reason why this has failed for so many years, it's Vince Russo. I mean, he was the guy. I mean, who was it? I don't know. Jerry, I know on our show said it, and many others have said it as well. But I mean, the obvious question is, why would you hire all the people that took down WCW if you're starting a new promotion? Like, if you're starting an energy company, let's just say that, I mean, when Panda started, I don't know when it was, but, I mean, let's just say they started in the last few years. I mean, would you have hired everyone from Enron, for example? I mean, would you find a spectacular failure of an energy company and hire all of them for your energy company? I sure as hell hope not. But TNA started, and you look at the guy who wrote WCW Television as it collapsed. Cheap plug, by the way, Death of WCW. It's available on Amazon.com. You can read all about it. I wrote the book, so I can endorse it. But you take the guy that wrote the TV that collapsed and destroyed that company, and he's the guy writing the TV for your company? You know, it'd be fine if he took several years off wrestling, came back, and was great. But he comes back, the TV's horrible. I mean, if you can point to one reason why TNA's TV ratings are bad, it's because the TV's bad. And the guy writing the TV is still writing the television. So if they go back to Thursdays and they've got the same guy writing their TV, first off, they deserve everything they get, number one. And number two, you watch the TV he writes right now, and all it does is talk about how great WWF is, or WWE. I mean, Hulk Hogan gave its Hall of Fame ring to Abyss, for God's sake. They're fighting over a WWE Hall of Fame ring. So can you imagine the television that he would write if they got completely destroyed on Monday night and WWE sent them packing back to Thursdays? It would be completely insufferable.
Would in that case Chelsea actually be able to get the ring?
Maybe she would. Maybe she would. The ring would be even more valuable at that point. Let's go to the phones right here. You're on Wrestling... Oh, these people. This person here says, I unfortunately watch Impact religiously every week, but somehow I missed how they reintroduced Kazarian to TNA. What happened to the Suicide character, and how was this all explained? Well, it wasn't.
That's exactly. They reintroduced Kaz back to TV by saying, hey, here's Kaz.
Yeah. They said that a former champion was back to TNA. Of course, you know, pretending that it was a world champion, for example, it was just Kazarian. And then Suicide just hasn't been seen. That's the story.
I'm hoping they're able to talk back Booker T into coming back to TNA somehow so it could be King Booker under the mask of Suicide.
That's true. It could be done. They're going to reintroduce the character as somebody else because apparently it's very important to have a Suicide character for the video game. But let's try the phones again. You're on Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello, Mr. Alvarez. This is Decca from New Jersey.
What's happening?
Nothing. I had two questions. I apologize for diverting from the theme, but the two questions, the first is having to do with something that was discussed on the F4W board, Umaga's financial situation at the time of his passing. And then just to clear up the line, I'll say the second question. I was wondering, what is your or Mike's Wrestlicious verse?
We got to talk about Wrestlicious. Thanks very much for the call, Decca. Umaga's financial status, I mean, I don't know. Apparently he'd done better. He'd seen better days. For those that have not heard, the cause of death was released. He mixed a bunch of pills. He had Valium in his system. He had hydrocodone, Vicodin, and he had Soma. So it was your traditional wrestler death. And this was after claiming that he'd just gotten out of rehab. So, you know, something didn't add up there. But yeah, he passed away, as many have, after being released from WWE for refusing to go to rehab, and apparently was not doing the best financially. And it's just, I mean, it's a sad story all around. It's a story we've heard so many times. Guy makes tons and tons of money, ends up with none of it, ends up with a drug habit, mixes pills, ends up passing away. And it's yet another great tragedy. And I guess really it isn't even really that sad because it happens regularly now, but news came out about this, people read about it, they moved on.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, where was the shock there, you know? I mean, his weight, obviously, it played a part in that, too, along with the cocktail there as well. But, you know, it just, you know, as far as his financial situation goes, you know, this is what people do, young people do. They tend to blow a lot of their money. Unfortunately, they don't save it, and they don't do things the right way. And unfortunately, that sounded like it was the case there. Now, probably what everyone should do with any money that they win or that they earn is to, of course, turn around and put those monies into a all-women's wrestling company where Lacey Von Erich is the... Would you say she's the best? a part of WrestleLicious, or is it the actual Glow style rap?
Well, I certainly the rap was a hell of a lot better than Lacey, but WrestleLicious, everybody, you can go online. In fact, the video is up at WrestlingObserver.com. If you go to the website and there's a more tab, and you can look around and check out the full front page archive. And if you do a Control F or search, you'll find the WrestleLicious video. But you can find it all over the internet. But first episode was last Monday. It's Glow 2010. It's I don't know. I enjoyed the show for like the first 15 minutes because it opens with an absurd rap. Maybe we'll actually play part of the rap at the beginning of the next segment. It opens with this rap. They've got hee-haw style comedy, and that is exactly how they explain it. Hee-haw. They've got terrible wrestling. They've got, I guess, largely good-looking girls. There are some that maybe aren't, but it's just a... For the first 15 minutes, it was so bad, it was good. But it was like, they knew how bad it was. It was unlike the Mick Foley segments, which were... They were written to actually be funny, and they weren't. This stuff on WrestleLicious was written to be bad, and they added a laugh track to make it even worse, which made it funny for a short period of time. Once these girls were in the ring actually trying to do long matches, that's when it just killed me.
That's I don't know how many he's got of these in the tank as well. I'm assuming there's at least a couple of them, but it used to be syndicated TV. You know, that's why Glow would be successful. It was probably pretty cheap, and you throw that on. I mean, with the amount of cable networks out there, I'm sure for MAV TV and for the other small channels that this thing might actually be on, that, you know, it serves, I guess, a purpose for someone.
We're actually going to... This segment is coming to an end here. We'll do a couple more things before we wrap it up, but the next two segments are kind of short. So the next long segment we have, I'm going to open up. I'm going to play some of the WrestleLicious rap for those of you that have not heard it. And if you haven't, you don't know what you're in for. And I don't have a WrestleLicious rap yet. I actually thought about going on the board and creating one for myself, but I was just like, I just can't do this justice. So I haven't done it yet. So maybe after a while, I'll write one up and put it on our board. Quick question here before we go to the break. What match do you think will go on last at WrestleMania? Surely it's between Cena and Dave and Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. That's a good question because they don't like putting non-title matches on last, but at the same time, I mean, you've got to... I just can't imagine them not putting Undertaker and Shawn Michaels on last, especially last year when they had Randy Orton and Triple H try to follow them, and that was a complete epic failure. So you'd think they would learn their lesson and put that match on last year, especially if it's going to end with like the supposed retirement of Shawn Michaels. You've got to have some sort of little celebration for him. So I don't know. We'll get Mike's thoughts after the break. We've got to head to commercial here, but we'll come back with that. We'll wrap up the first hour, and then in the next hour, we'll do the WrestleLicious rap for those of you that have not heard it. So we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. And we are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And Mike, the WrestleMania main event this year, do you finish with a title match or do you finish with Undertaker and Shawn Michaels?
You got to finish with Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. You know, so many main events anyway, they don't actually have to have Edge or Jericho, whoever's supposedly going to follow it. I mean, just do Undertaker and Michaels. It's the biggest thing on there. It's what everybody wants to see anyway, including the people that work there. So Matt, put that one on last.
We got some email questions here. I wanted to go over a couple more before we wrap up this segment here. This person says, regarding, are you excited for the new Monday Night Wars? He said, has TNA done anything to promote Monday nights besides bad booking on Impact? Have they been running billboards, magazine ads, commercials outside of their own programming, radio spots, or angles on talk shows to promote the fact? I know so many people who don't watch TNA because of the senseless booking that literally have no clue they're moving to Monday and going live against Raw. Doesn't this speak volumes about how well-suited Hogan and Bischoff are to handle the situation? Is there anything they can do at this point short of having Awesome Kong and Bubba the Love Sponge break into a legit fight on Good Morning America, which I would totally watch, by the way, he adds, to get people talking and excited about this? Well, Hogan has been doing a lot of radio spots. I mean, Hogan's on the radio like numerous times a day, every single day, hyping this up. I don't know if that's going to mean much. I mean, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't think they've done as much as they did for January 4th. I could be wrong. but it sure doesn't seem that way. But we'll talk about more of this after the break. Take more email questions, more phone calls, and play the Wrestlelicious rap. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live, here for the next hour, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. Hour two of the program, joined as always by Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. Let's not waste any time. Mike, we talked about it in the last hour, the Wrestlelicious rap. Going to play a little bit of it here on the program. Of course, this video all over the internet. It's on Byte TV up in Canada. It's on MAV TV here in the U.S. If you search Wrestlelicious, I'm sure you'll find out. I think the shows are now on Wednesday nights. But if you didn't see it on Monday night, this is the kind of excitement that you're missing.
Wrestlelicious, baby! Wrestlelicious!
Wrestlelicious, baby!
Yeah! I'm Tony the Top, and I'm the goddaughter. When I enter the ring, gonna be a slaughter. You mess with me, you'll be sleeping with the fishes, cause Tony the Top is Wrestlelicious.
I'm Glory, y'all, an all-American girl. I love to see the American flag unfurl. I'm patriotic, not the least malicious. I'm red, white, blue, and Wrestlelicious.
I'm Maui, sweet like island guava, but you know I pack punch like molten lava. I'm the answer to your prayers and your wishes. I'm Maui, and I'm Wrestlelicious.
I'm Draculetta, queen of the night. When I suck your blood, you will scream with fright. My fangs are sharp and my bite is vicious, cause Draculetta is Wrestlelicious.
I'm Lacey Von Erich, you know the name. My family's in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. My claw holds famous, it's not fictitious, cause Lacey Von Erich is Wrestlelicious.
I'm Kenny Kisses, pop superstar. I got the coolest clothes and the fastest cars. I always get applause, never boos or hisses, cause Kenny Kisses is Wrestlelicious.
We're Kimmy's angels, watch Cobra strike.
I'm Viper baby, who all the boys like.
Anaconda makes all the cops suspicious.
Cause Jimmy's angels are Wrestlelicious.
I'm Supernova.
It's about as much as I can take of this right here. By the way, Supernova, for those of you that have watched the video, you got to watch Supernova run, because I think she may be Tiffany in disguise. Did you notice that?
I'm imploring Jim in Virginia to stick to Shimmer and to not watch Wrestlelicious. And by the way, for anybody wondering where Ayako Hamada is, not in Wrestlelicious.
No, she's not. We're going to head to a break. We'll be back with more phone calls and emails. We've got a lot of news to talk about as well, including some thoughts on the WEC show from last night, which was a pretty good show until, I didn't like the main event finish, but what can you do? We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Here for the next hour, talking pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, a number of other subjects as well, taking your phone calls and emails. We were talking before the break, WEC last night. Mike, did you get a chance to see the show?
I did indeed.
And what did you think?
I actually liked the show. There were some disappointing parts to it and everything, but it was a really good crowd, and You had seven fights in the time it was on, although I'm a little disappointed in that the undercard fight between Ricardo Lamas and Benny Casimir, they had about 20 minutes left to go when the show ended. I think it ended at about 12:40 Eastern time. They did have time to extend out and actually show that great knockout with a flying knee that had taken place. So I'm a little disappointed with that, but there was a little bit of everything on the show. In the very first fight, Palaszewski fighting from behind and winning his fight. Unfortunately, the second fight between Taravishkis and Davis wasn't all that fun, but there was a little bit of everything on the show, and Jens Pulver's promo after his fight made the entire night completely worth it.
Actually, it's interesting you should mention the 2 hour and 40 minute mark, because I think the problem was the show was only supposed to go 2 hours and 30 minutes. So actually they went over by 10 minutes and not under by 20, although I guess
that's normal, and that makes sense. But and what they followed it up with afterwards, it's not like there was a debuting show or something first run coming after it. So knowing that a lot of these shows go long anyway, I'm sure they had to think about that being planned in there somewhat, that they couldn't have went just a little bit longer.
Yeah, I was actually kind of thinking that in the sense that they followed it up with the countdown to UFC on Versus. That couldn't have been bumped an extra 20 minutes. Apparently not, but It was a good show. The, as you mentioned, the LC Davis fight was horrendous, but Jens Pulver lost to Javier Vasquez, and guess probably the end of his career. He cut a promo basically telling the fans he couldn't put him through this again. They were crying in the audience at this promo. It was unreal. And we had Scott Jorgensen beating Chad George quickly with a guillotine. Miguel Angel Torres lost via submission to Joseph Benavidez. And just wasn't the same Torres. He lost via knockout last time to Brian Bowles, and he lost via submission here. And it appears that it was taken out of him after those two losses.
Yeah, and the first time he's ever been submitted, and he certainly doesn't like his own blood, which he opened up a huge cut on his head before the stoppage via an elbow. But yeah, I mean, he was just a step behind, and I mean Benavidez was all over the place, and I know that fight didn't happen all that long ago, but I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Cruz and Benavidez again, even maybe before seeing Cruz and Jorgensen, although I cannot wait to see Jorgensen be pushed a little bit more on WEC shows.
And quickly in the main event, Brian Bowles and Dominic Cruz, 135-pound title. Bowles broke his hand on the first punch of the fight and just didn't have it. He was hurt. It was the third time he's broken his hand this year. He didn't want to continue. His corner told him to not come out for round three. Lost the title. It was tough because it was the right decision to make for his future and for his career. But when you think about former WC events where Uriah Faber, for example, broke one hand and destroyed the other hand in a fight in the second round and went five, it's just tough. He came off in some ways like a pro wrestling heel, even though this is real, and he was, you know, he was just doing what was right.
Well, and this is a problem because, I mean, you know, boxers and fighters all the time will fight to the end like Faber does. And, you know, Mayweather's always had a problem with breaking his hands in fights, too. Gotti has as well. I mean, you know, if it was bad enough where they figure it's got to be stopped, they better figure out something to do with him and to somehow, I don't know how he's going to change his style much, though, either at this point. But it's getting to be a bad situation for him in those hands.
Let's go to the phones. You're on Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Well, what's up, Brian? This is Stanley from Houston.
Stanley, what's going on?
What's going on, Brian? What's good, Mike? You know, I've been paying attention to the Chris Jericho and Edge program on SmackDown. Looks pretty good. And I had this idea. I want to run this by you. This is what I thought. I like what you were talking about the steel being on his abs. I think it was Jericho's abs and Edge ran into it.
Oh yeah. The Bret Hart Goldberg deal where Jericho goes for a spear. Or I'm sorry, yeah, Edge goes for a spear and Jericho has a metal plate under his jersey and Edge knocks himself out and that builds to Mania.
Yeah, exactly. Now they've been building it this way for a while that, you know, that he's going to use a spear and obviously he's going to get a big pop when he does it. What I thought is during a match is that Jericho, they should tease it. I don't think they should just give it away right away. They should just, like, tease the spear the whole match. Because it would only make sense that Jericho's been hit with this thing every week, that he would know that it's going to come. So I think that Jericho should be dodging it, like, maybe, like, once or twice in the match and then get hit with it. I don't know. I just had that idea. I want to run that by you and see what you thought about that. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's... You know, there are a lot of ways that they can do that match. I mean, it depends on well, a lot of things, really. I mean, if they've got nine matches on the show and they run out of time, I mean, the match could just open spear 1-2-3. You know, if you really want to get Edge over and make people want to pay to see an extended match the next time around, I don't necessarily think it's going to happen, but they could do it. But, yeah, obviously the best idea would be that, you know, Edge tries for the spear. Maybe even he goes for the spear early and hits the post, and that's how they work the heat on him, you know, obviously he's got to hit the spear at the end, but, you know, it would be best if they teased it quite a bit throughout the match and then delivered and the people went nuts.
Oh, yeah, I like that idea, too. And last but not least, that Batista and Cena promo that they had on Monday was just, that immediately boosted them to, like, the second most important match on the card, to me. Like, right after Shawn and Taker, that was phenomenal. I've watched it over 10 times, and it just got better and better. So those two, they did a hell of a job.
Yeah, I actually want to talk to Mike about that. Stanley, I want to thank you very much for the call. The Batista promo was seen on Monday. Batista, he has become such a great heel. He's one of those guys, I never want to see him as a babyface again because he's so great in every way. I mean, the way he dresses, the way he talks, his the content of his interviews. He has just been fabulous.
That's the thing. And just stupid things like letting him wear, like, Ralph Lauren clothing instead of WWE stuff, where he's, you know, even above that, he's above all the people there wearing WWE stuff. His attitude, the whole thing with the spotlight on SmackDown, and just this whole thing has been fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And he's, you know, he makes people hate him to the point where you forget about hating John Cena for a lot of people right now, too,
right,
which is obviously what you need going into WrestleMania as well.
Yeah, he's they've had the match at SummerSlam, which they did a horrible job with. I remember at the time that they announced it like 2 weeks before. They did a weak build, and the next thing you know, the match is on at SummerSlam. And this it's like now they've done what they should have done the first time around, and they've kind of a little bit alluded to the fact that Cena got hurt in that match. I think they're going to play it up more in the next couple of weeks. But man, they've done a good job with this program, and you know, you see Cena and Batista on top so often that it's almost like, you know, how could they make you want to see the match? I realize they, you know, it seems like they've wrestled a million times because you see them in the main events all the time. But they've actually only wrestled one major match prior to this in the last couple of years. And I don't know, I'm very excited to see it for some reason. Let's take a quick call before we have to end the break. You're on Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Alex from San Jose. How you guys doing?
Alex, what's going on?
Hey, not much. I just wanted to ask, I guess, just a couple questions, if that's okay. My first question regarding WrestleMania, are there any, like, gimmick, aside from the Money in the Bank ladder match, are there any other gimmick matches planned for the show?
There may be Mask versus Hair with Punk versus Rey, but it seems like they've kind of eased off that, and I'm starting to think that it's probably going to be, like, you know, they do the first match at WrestleMania, and it's the beginning of a feud, and they culminate with Mask versus Hair later on down the road.
All right, and I guess my second question is regarding, I guess, the Monday Night War going on March 8th, and I guess, do you know if, I mean, I heard Dave say that TNA has plans to bring in Jeff Hardy for that show. I mean, is he still clear to, I mean, with the whole charges going on against him, I mean, is he still on trial?
Oh, yeah. I mean, his trial date's coming up in like a month, and they could, they could send him away. He could be up the creek. But yes, TNA has decided this man is about to go to trial on charges of drug trafficking. But hey, let's put him on TV Monday nights. Why not?
Shannon Moore should be happy.
That's true. He's got a job. He's got a job. Alex, we actually have to do a break, but I want to thank you very much for the call. We've got to get going here. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com. Joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Awkward ending to that last segment, but what can you do? I suppose we should talk about it a little bit more. Yes, Jeff Hardy is about to go to, I don't know if it's trial. I don't know all the legal terms, but he's going to court. Charges of drug trafficking. A couple of other charges as well. Bad times. And yeah, TNA's decided, hey, let's bring him back and put him on television right before he goes to trial. Why? I don't know, because that's TNA.
I mean, I don't know how else you say it besides, it's bad for him anyway, even if he could help. You're going to get the bad taste stuff thrown in there. But, I mean, just the fact that, I don't know, it really doesn't make any sense to me, because I wouldn't put him out there in the first place anyway. And realistically, does anyone even remember that, you know, I guess he's in the opening to the show, I guess. But does anyone even remember he's there? It's like Samoa Joe. If Taz didn't say something stupid every week about not knowing where Samoa Joe is and not knowing, you know, if any authorities have been called, if Samoa Joe were to disappear, would anyone actually notice?
We got an email about Jeff, but I want to go to the phones first. You're on Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. It's Jamie out in Stockton, California.
Jamie, what's going on?
Not much. I wanted to ask you guys, now that most of the main events for WrestleMania have been announced, what do you think the buy rate's going to be going up head-to-head with the UFC show? Because I know when the UFC show was announced for that weekend, a lot of people thought it was going to take away from WrestleMania. I actually think that the build's been so strong for WrestleMania, and the main events are pretty solid. I actually think it's going to hurt UFC.
Well, if any WWE pay-per-view is going to hurt UFC, it's this one. However, As great as the build for WrestleMania has been, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but they still have 3 weeks to screw it up. It is possible. They've done it before. And the other thing is, UFC still has 3 weeks. I mean, you got to remember, they're doing the UFC 24/7 hype deal with George St. Pierre and Dan Hardy. And Dan Hardy knows this is his big shot. And this, I strongly suspect that when March 27th or whatever the date is comes along, people are going to be begging to give their money to UFC to see GSP kill Dan Hardy. So it's interesting. I don't know. I know that the buy rate for the Royal Rumble came in, and I thought they did a really good job building up that show. And Royal Rumble this year beat Royal Rumble last year. So people are buying WWE pay-per-views if they're built up properly. I can't even make a prediction. I mean, there are a lot of factors. This is the first major WWE UFC head-to-head battle in the sense that it's a big UFC show. They're putting a lot of work behind it. It's WWE's biggest show of the year. You know, UFC's got the theater deal now. I mean, maybe a lot of people will watch that show in the theater and then buy WWE on Sunday. Maybe they won't hurt each other at all in a lot of places. I don't know. And Mike, what are your thoughts?
You know, I think it's too early to do a prediction for it yet, but I think obviously on a more minor level, people are going to buy one or the other. But I think this is going to be one of those times where one isn't going to affect the other one too much. I think the people that are going to buy WrestleMania, I mean, with Undertaker and Shawn Michaels, if nothing else, I think the people that are going to buy WrestleMania are going to buy it. And the same thing with the UFC show. It's GSP. It's, you know, Mirror for the number one contendership. It's the big show right outside in New York, and they are pouring a lot of hype behind it. And, I mean, GSP, I mean, it's possible if he goes into training for the Olympics, how many more times are you going to see him? So I think they're both going to actually do really, really well. It's going to be the show after this for WWE, you know, coming up in April. That one's probably going to be pretty bad, but I think it doesn't matter on this one. They're both going to draw.
Well, you know, also the... It is a head-to-head battle Saturday and Sunday. I guess it's not head-to-head. I guess that would be what they call nowadays a double shot. Double shot used to be work twice in one day. Now it's you work twice in the same weekend. But I guess it's kind of like a double shot in the sense that you've got Saturday and Sunday shows. But, I mean, sometimes people can justify, hey, it's once a year. It's one time a year we're going to buy both shows on the same weekend. Let's just do it. I mean, I could see people making that sort of... WrestleMania is big. That's what people have to remember. This is not like, you know, Elimination Chamber going up against a big UFC pay-per-view. This is the one show a year. If you look at the buy rates, I mean, this is the one show of the year that a lot of people are going to buy no matter what. So we'll see. I don't even want to make a prediction because I have absolutely no... This is uncharted territory here. And I do think that WWE is going to break a million buys. I think that it's going to break a million buys. Perhaps it'll break the record. I don't know. They don't have Trump, a big outside celebrity, like they did that one year where they broke the record. But, I mean, they've done a great job doing what you do to sell a pay-per-view. And so maybe they don't need that big outside person to break the record here. So, I mean, if any year did, it would be this year. So I guess we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, and we've seen with boxing, too. I mean, more people now than ever are wired in to order pay-per-views. I mean, it's one of the things that's helped these Pacquiao and Mayweather and De La Hoya, the recent numbers, is more people now than ever can just flick the button. So that actually helps.
Tell us about James Toney.
Lights out James Toney. I guess as people have been seeing, he has been... I don't know about stalking, but he has been showing up to UFC press conferences for a while. He has been on the Sports Soup show on Versus, hyping up how he wants to sign with the UFC and he wants to fight Kimbo. And, you know, basically when you look at him on the surface, it's, you know, Dana being nice to a guy who's not going to get any more boxing paydays. His style doesn't lend itself well to be a gatekeeper in boxing because he rolls his shoulders. He's very defensive. He's got heavy hands. He's not going to make your young prospect look good. He's not into being a guy who's just going to have a fight to have a fight. He wants there to be some hype behind it. And joining up with the UFC, at least for one more time, is actually a really good idea. Now, to find out that it's more of a preemptive strike from the UFC's point of view, it makes a lot more sense because they're obviously getting hit with, you know, this is a freak show and this and that. But it does throw a wrench in any plans you had where Strikeforce and CBS had of doing Herschel Walker and James Toney, which, for as big of a Japanese-style freak show as that fight may be, it's probably going to get some eyes on it. So, you know, the UFC, it is what it is. James Toney is not going to fight for five fights. He probably won't look good in the one fight he's going to be in. But for their sake, I hope it's against Kimbo. They do the one big thing and are done with it. You know, make some money off of it as best you can. Put it on a pay-per-view with a good MMA fight, or at least the possibility of, you know, good, you know, what MMA is all about, and have that one freak show on there and make some money off of it.
Could Kimbo beat James Toney?
You know?
Because, I mean, obviously, if Kimbo took it to the ground, I mean, he has actually won fights via submission. But, you know, would Kimbo go in there and box with him? That would be a bad idea.
That would be an incredibly stupid idea, yes. But, you know, you're hoping that, obviously, whatever Kimbo has learned, or you know, what he's hopefully has learned in his MMA training, I mean, that's the course that you take. That obviously wouldn't be what UFC would want, but for Kimbo's own good, I mean, James Toney is a... There's going to be the other thing, too, is what weight he fights at. I mean, James Toney has been out of shape. I would assume he would fight at 205, which, I don't know. Do you do a catch weight fight with Kimbo, I guess?
And just go 215 for both of them.
You'd have to, because, I mean, there's no one besides Kimbo in that entire company James Toney could fight. I mean, I can't. There's ones you can conceive, but realistically, I mean... Unless James Toney's been doing some secret training, but it doesn't sound that way.
Let's do some of the email questions here. There's plenty of them. This person says, on the new Monday Night Wars, I think it's already over before it begins after the dreadful Impact show on Thursday. I'd really like them to do well, but there's have to be a ton of changes before it can even come close, like getting rid of Russo for a start. How about more wrestling and less backstage skits on Impact? You'd think.
What a novel concept.
You'd think a lot of things, but I don't know if you should hold your breath waiting for him. This person here says, in the early days of the newsletter, did you call up the WWF or WCW 1-900 lines for scoops? How accurate did they tend to be? Well, no, because when I was starting up my newsletter and there were still 900 lines, I could not afford them. They were very expensive at the time. $1.99 a minute to listen to Mean Gene? Not happening. So, I don't know. I don't know. Did you ever call them, Mike?
My parents actually had to get a block on them.
Mike.
Here's why. Now, and this is very sad, too. So my mom gets the phone bill with all the 1-900 numbers on there, so she is immediately thinking sex line. So, you know, she starts yelling at me about that, and then I have to convince her, no. You see, when the calls are made, it's not sex line. It's because Steve Beverly's Matt Watch is on Wednesdays on the WCW line, and I don't know what she was more disappointed in, the fact that I would rack up this type of monthly phone bill on listening to Steve Beverly's Matt Watch, or the fact that it wasn't porn. I think that's the part that disappointed her the most.
A sad tale right there. All right, let's go to the phones. You're on Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys. This is Crumbly in Ohio.
Crumbly. What's happening? Actually, you know what, Crumbly?
I got to tell you, Brian.
Hey, Crumbly, hold on.
I am excited about the wars.
Crumbly. Hold on one second.
Yeah.
We're actually coming up against a break, so let me wrap this segment up, and we'll keep you on the line, and we'll come back and take in the next segment. Sound good?
Yeah, that works for me.
All right, hold on one second here. I'll wrap this up here very quickly. We've got an email here. Email here we'll read, and then we'll go to the break. This person says, as many talk of doing a WWE or TNA wrestler on The Simpsons, I find it weird that only Bret Hart has been on the show. Yeah, I heard that Bret Hart had been on that show. But no, I have not heard anything about that. Mike, you're giggling.
Do you actually remember him being on the show?
I've heard that Bret Hart was once on an episode of The Simpsons, yes. Oh, our board. Listen, we're going to head to a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Crumbly's on the line. He wants to talk Impact. That should be a fun time. So we're back in just a moment. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Going back to the phones here, we've got Crumbly here on the line who wants to talk about Impact. Of course, a huge TNA fan, Crumbly, and I know that you also happen to not be a fan of this past Thursday's show, so there's hope for you,
young
man.
The past 2 weeks of Impact, Brian, have been horrible.
You don't say.
And it makes no sense to me because I really liked every show up until the past 2 weeks. And I don't know if Eric Bischoff is just simply too busy with his micro celebrity midget thing, which just, God, that sounds completely embarrassing. And is not devoting enough time to the show anymore, but, you know, he just got there. So for 6 weeks later, everything too seemingly has gone so poorly. I don't know. How about a long-term future here?
Well, Crumbly, I got to ask...
They have really killed my buzz over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, I got to ask you this question because this Thursday show in particular reminded me a lot of a Vince Russo show, and I always hated the Vince Russo shows, and often you would come to their defense. And what has changed? What was it about this show that you hated so passionately?
Well, this is the thing, Ryan. Is in the past, even if a show was bad, there were some kind of redeeming qualities that made a TNA show a TNA show.
Great wrestling, for example.
An X Division match, a decent wrestling match, something. In this show, it was talking segment after talking segment after talking segment, to the point where you just were so numb by the end, I didn't care about anything on the show.
I did have a friend who used to email me the TNA times. He would I guess just take a stopwatch and tell me how much wrestling was on your average show. And for a while there, sometimes there were 18 minutes of wrestling in a 2-hour show. He has long since given up, and I don't even know how much wrestling was on this past Monday show. But it seemed to be. I mean, I think last week, maybe it was last week, a couple of weeks ago, it was 11 minutes. It seemed less.
I believe this past week's was 12.
12, okay. 12 minutes on a 120-minute show.
And I'm not one of these guys who it's like, oh, man, every segment has to be wrestling, and everything has to lead to a wrestling segment. And I'm fine with the, you know, sports entertainment aspects, but Jesus Christ.
12 minutes.
It's a 2-hour show.
Yeah. It's bad.
But not only that, in that time, did they really have to have the 62-second match between... Doug Williams looking like a fool against Rod Terry? Did they need to have the machine guns in a 2-minute match?
But there's an X Division pay-per-view in 2 weeks, and they jobbed out their X Division champion. Like, I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Crumbly, do you have a ratings?
Very disheartening.
Do you have a ratings prediction for Monday night?
I would say okay. It's Hogan and Flair, and that should mean something. But didn't their quarter hour do like? A .96 or something?
A .93.
So maybe it won't matter. God, this is even worse. I don't know. So maybe that won't even matter. I guess I will go with a 1.16. I will go with the exact same rating that they got this past Thursday night.
All right. Well, that's a good prediction. I want to thank you very much for the call, Crumbly. 1.16. And by the way, Crumbly, passionate fan of TNA, and even he doesn't care. And Mike, that's a sad state of affairs right there.
That's the biggest thing. I mean, you know, for those fans that were TNA, I mean, it's just if it's not one thing, it's another. And this is where they're at. This is, you know, Crumbly and people. Crumbly could not be a bigger TNA supporter. Could not have been a bigger TNA supporter from over the last couple of years. And that's what he's saying.
What do you predict as far as the number?
Well, you know, I'm off the 1.51 now, and just I'm going to say 1.3. I'll say 1.3, and then you know, depending on what happens on that show, that'll set the tone for what next week's going to be. But I'll say 1.3 right now, just because there'll be something that spikes it up during the show. But I don't know. I don't know because I think WWE they may have gotten out of their system last week with the Cheech and Chong Lucky Charms things. I think those may be tightened up a little bit coming into this Monday. So, you know, TNA may not get a chance to breathe all that much.
God, you know, Crumbly's actually got the best number I've heard so far, 1.16.
Yeah.
I mean, it does average up to 1.2. I don't know if, I mean, the head-to-head last on January 4th did a 1-3. And there was far more interest going into that show than going into this one. So, I'm going to agree. 1.16 for Impact coming up this Monday night. And I guess we'll...
Guarantees sub-1 quarters and segments.
You guarantee there's going to be segments that drop below one?
Well, with a 1.16, yeah, there has to be. Guaranteed.
All right. Guaranteed,
which is... And that's, you know, then it's even worse because what are those segments going to be? Because really, if you're cynical in that locker room, you could say, the thing that continued throughout the whole show was Hogan talking himself into that match or talking himself into the final segment of last week, and that's what happened.
Let's do some of the email questions here. Will Jeff Hardy and TNA really mean all that much? I just have a feeling that Jeff and the company outside of WWE doesn't have the same star power as when he is in WWE. Well, he's been in TNA, and it meant nothing before. I mean, he was fired from WWF for issues, and he showed up in TNA, and, I mean, he wasn't the same wrestler. Nobody cared, and he ended up no-showing events, and they got rid of him. And then after TNA got rid of him, WWE actually brought him back, and he became a gigantic star. So he was a huge star in WWE until, obviously, this past August when he lost the... Loser Leaves Town match or whatever the situation was with CM Punk, but came back to Impact on Monday. I don't know what he meant. They made him look like a complete geek backstage with that painting deal. They found three teenage girls to mob Jeff Hardy. Wow, he looked like a star. And I don't know. I don't think he's a game changer in TNA, especially if he ends up in the clink for 5 years coming up here in a month.
I thought of him in WWE. I think it was with Morrison saying, "Hey man, that's my painting," and it just made me laugh. I don't know. It makes no sense. And again, if you're going to do this, why have all the surprises on one show anyway? When you do need something for next week, you know, have Rob
because
Van Damme.
They don't have any idea what they're doing.
Oh, I know. TNA.
You know, everyone always asks me, "Are you going to write the death of TNA? Are you going to write the death of TNA?" And I'm always thinking, no, I don't want to. I don't want to relive this. Death of WCW almost killed me. The idea of having to write Death of TNA is even worse, because at least WCW had periods of great success. You know what I mean? They squandered it and they failed in the end, but at least they had years of success. TNA is not. And the idea, but then, you know, I almost feel like I have to write this story, because this is so... obvious why this is not working. We've been talking about this for years. For years and years, I've been ranting and raving about everything they do wrong. They never learn. It is bad enough. This is the thing that drives me the most crazy about TNA. It's one thing to never learn from your mistakes, because people do it all the time. They do something stupid. Actually, here's a funny story for you this has nothing to do with... it kind of has to do with what I'm talking about. I went to Olive Garden last night, and there was a dad there with his little bugger. This kid had to be like... And Mike, you may relate, as the father of a small child, about... You know, I'd say this kid was about 1.5, maybe 2. This little kid, he's holding his kid out in front of him, and the kid's looking at his dad, and they're waiting to get seated, and the kid gives dad this little light headbutt. He just kind of puts his forehead against his dad's forehead, and he kind of giggles. And then the kid gives the dad a little harder headbutt, and he kind of giggles. And then he goes a little harder, and then a little harder. And finally he whacks his dad in the head so hard that he begins to cry, the child. You know, so he learned a lesson. You can headbutt your dad a little bit, a little harder, but eventually if you do it hard enough, it's going to hurt you really bad, okay? Then, of course, a little bit later, the kid does the same thing again and cries again. So he didn't learn his lesson. But the point is, that kid's TNA. Because you bang your head against a wall repeatedly, and they never learn from any of these mistakes that they made. But what's more maddening is, they have actually had pay-per-views that have done really, really well. They had a Kurt Angle Samoa Joe pay-per-view where they book things completely differently than how they normally do. They tried to make it a more serious deal. They threw away all the comedy and the stupidity. And it did 60,000 buys. It tripled what they normally do. On the very next show, they went back to the same stupid stuff that they always do, and the buy rates went right back down to 20,000. I mean, it was astounding. It's stupid enough to not learn from your mistakes. When you don't learn from your successes, when you don't learn from what you do right, there is absolutely no hope for you.
There you go. 8 years. It's been 8 years.
Yes.
And this is, you know, you don't have to write the book. That, you know, make it an audio book. And I'm in the audio book. Just have you forwarding the book and then play interviews you and Dave and that you have done for the website with Dutch Mantel, with Jerry Jarrett, with Jim Cornette, with the people that have gone through there. And that's all you need to do. You don't have to write it. Let them say it again.
We got time for one more call here on the show. You're on Wrestling Observer Live. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Robert from Durham.
Robert, what's going on?
Not too much. I'm just wondering why, you know, if it's the right thing to do to play along is if the Monday Night Wars are restarting, because this doesn't seem like much of a war.
War is not the best term to use. You're correct.
I mean, just, you know, it doesn't
it's
seem like
really anyone
wearing too much, and TNA isn't really doing anything that would damage them or inconvenience them, even.
No, WWE, I mean, they clearly don't care at all. And, I mean, if TNA were actually, I don't know, if they were doing something where you would think, man, they've got something here, it would be one thing, but you watch Thursday's show, and it's just like, they're being led to the slaughter here, and I don't know if they realize it or not. I mean, many people do, but obviously the key people don't realize it.
Yeah, that's all I was wondering.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to thank you very much for the call. We've gotten calls about this all night, and I don't have a good answer for anybody. It's that Thursday night show was astounding. Astoundingly bad. And I don't know. I mean, hey, listen. I wish them success. I would like to have a Monday Night War. I mean, I'll just be honest with everybody. I mean, January 4th, I mean, shortly around that period, I mean, we did our best business we've ever done. I mean, our website is at a peak right now because people are interested in this new Monday Night War. I would love it. I would love it if TNA knew what they were doing and they had a great product and we had a real war and people were really interested, because we would have great success. It would trickle down to us. But I don't see it. I do not see it at all. And maybe tomorrow that will change, but I don't have high hopes.
No, it's stop making me feel bad as a wrestling fan. I'm the idiot wrestling fan that's going to watch everything for the most part, no matter what, anyway. Stop making me feel bad about it by making the same mistakes over and over and over. Although I'll say this. Production glitches seem to be gone, so that's been a plus.
That's true. They have done significantly better as far as the production glitches they used to have every single week, and now they seem to have cut those down dramatically. So that is at least a plus. But we're going to head to a break. We'll wrap this show up here in the next segment, and final look at Monday night and more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. We are back here for the final segment on Wrestling Observer Live. Just wanted to mention very quickly the sad passing of Angelo Poffo, the father of Randy Savage and Lanny Poffo. He was old, and his family had been looking after him for some time, and he finally passed away. And he was kind of an underappreciated sort of fellow in the history of wrestling in some ways.
Oh yeah, big time. And the fact that, I mean, the war, it was... The war between he and Jerry Lawler and Jerry Jarrett in Tennessee when he ran the ICW promotion, which really helped to make Randy Savage a superstar and really ended up, it could have ended the careers of some guys who worked there too, being in outlaw territory running against the NWA. But, I mean, they were vicious, vicious wars. Like, you hear about, you know, fights in the middle of the street and guys, you know, jumping Bill Dundee and brawls taking place. I mean, it was a serious, serious fight for that city. In a fight for that territory that ended up going into wrestling terms and getting Savage and everybody in there. So it's just he a hell of a character and did great work with his sons when he did end up going to Memphis as well.
And we'll have more on Angelo on the website this coming week. I'm sure Dave's got a bio coming up in the Observer. And as far as wrestling wars, tomorrow, supposedly the next one starts. So make sure you check it out Monday night. Spike TV for TNA and USA for WWE head-to-head from 9 to 11. And, of course, we'll be covering it at WrestlingObserver.com. So head to the website and follow the war tomorrow night on your computer. And, of course, next week we'll be back on the show talking the fallout and the road to WrestleMania. There's a lot of stuff to discuss, so make sure you check it out. And always, if the show is preempted, you can head to WrestlingObserver.com and listen live on your computer. We are totally out of time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Been a great show this week. We'll be back again with another one next week. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network.